We might not know it, and we might not like it, or maybe we're just not aware of it, but we are all on a spiritual journey. And it's something that we undertake in life when we start developing an interest in what matters. And what usually comes to mind that matters first to us is ourselves. Yeah, that's why when we're growing up, we take great pride in doing things by ourselves and for ourselves. Those of you who've raised children, remember the point at which they actually could go to the bathroom on their own? It's like, I did it by myself. Yeah, well, that's why it's so worthy of rejoicing. See, those things are even examples of how we love ourselves. And we have a tough time with that word about ourselves and love because, like, oh, no, that means I'm conceited. But, you know, we always say, well, you got to love yourself before you can love others. But think of it in terms of this. Doing something good for yourself. How about that? All right? When you're doing something good for yourself, you're loving yourself. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And as we grow and we start caring for those people around us, you know, we realize that, oh, these people are taking care of me. Oh, I love those people. You know, not so difficult to love the people who are taking care of you, right? And further on, we then start to find ourselves able to open up ourselves to people outside our family, to people who are not kin, but yet we interact with them and regularly, you know, we learn how to cooperate with them. It's like, oh, yeah, they're fine people. The big leap, though, comes when these concentric circles expand to the point that we should and could and might consider start loving people that we don't necessarily know, but we definitely know we don't like them. Mostly because we don't like what they do, but to be honest, sometimes it's just because they're not like us, I don't like them. That's the way it is. It's all subconscious. Nobody's going to admit to it, but it's true, and you know it. And this is where we find ourselves celebrating today in the Feast of the Epiphany. So, yes, it's still only the second day of Christmas, or second, yeah, Sunday of Christmas. This is day 11. Tomorrow's day 12. Yeah, Epiphany Day. We didn't change it. Yes, it's still on Tuesday, the 6th. But, you know, y'all ain't going to come to church on Tuesday, so we got to do that now. The significance of this feast is that it is vital to our basic understanding about who we are in the world as the church and as the body of Christ in the world. And the consummate presentation of the Epiphany is in Matthew's story about the visitation of some intellectual elite from the East showing up in Jerusalem looking for the child that they learned was the King of the Jews. And in this portrait so intricately painted, we see the movement of God, a movement of humanity, mankind in itself, that illustrates this portion of our own spiritual journey, the loving of people who are not like us, people that we don't necessarily know, but what we do know is we don't like them. I mean, why don't we like them? The people that came, those like what the real word there in the Greek is magoi, which means magi, which is the root word of what we have with magicians and astrologers. Like, oh, those people are evil. Yeah, we don't like them. So yeah, the Epiphany of God's Christ, the showing of this Jesus, the manifestation of God's love in the world and for the world. It's demonstrated by well-studied Gentiles paying homage to, of all things, the King of the what? The Jews. This was radical, and the story points to God's true nature in the loving of humanity. And while understanding that all humanity, even those not like us, are drawn to Christ, and they might not even know why. And many of us get raised on the idea that God only loves people like me. okay? God only loves Episcopalians, really. We're the only ones that really do it right. You know, I remember when I was a Baptist, you know, I remember thinking the same thing about Baptists. It's like, everybody thought it, but you could only say it in hushed tones. Yeah. We know that's not true. But when we stop there in our spiritual development, we just stop at that simple point right there. We set ourselves up for an extreme disappointment. And you know what? This nation is littered with churches that have stopped at that point of their spiritual development. And it's not pretty. And you've seen them. Disappointment in how the world is and failure to actively work toward our true unity despite our differences is there for us. So, other religions, let's talk about that. Are they really real, or are they merely just made up figments of other people's imaginations, huh? Well, truth is where truth is. I know that's not profound, but you know, God is truth. And remember, religions are all man-made. Yeah, you know that toy that you just got that says, you remember getting those toys? That says, made in, wherever, Cambodia, made in China, made in wherever, right? Made in Vietnam. Guess what? All religions come with a made-by-man tag. All of them. Every single one. Religions are a human creation in response to God. And all religions have some semblance of what God's love is and how it looks in the world. Now, when we see the earnestness of the wisdom of the East, that's what we see in these traveling magi, which I love the way it's translated as wise men. That makes so much more sense than the older way, which was, what was the older translation? You remember that? Kings. We three kings of Orient. You've sung it in here on the, during Advent. Yeah, exactly. No, they weren't kings. They're the wise men. Sure, that's good. When they come to see Jesus, we see in that action the basic human need in all peoples and cultures to want and ultimately recognize what God is doing in and for the world. Yeah. So no single religion can contain all of God's truth. And you got to be honest with you, all religion has despicable and heinous seeds of thought that can and do go in a hurtful and painful direction. And if you think Christianity is immune to that, you are not dealing with reality. Yeah. So in this picture of the epiphany of God's Christ, we see the illustration of a universal truth. And that which is the best in people, yeah, and their religions, it actually does see God. What underscores this truth is the element of the story that guides and pushes and even pulls the action. Did you notice what this was? And you probably didn't even think about it because you've heard it so many times. Like, oh, you guys, you probably even took a nap during the reading of it. Who knows? But that's the star. The star is the star of this reading, right? Three, four times the star gets mentioned. And you know, we don't need to react all scientifically and say, no, we know that stars are just actually suns from other galaxies, and we certainly see their light, and they don't actually move. And type. Well, no, that's not where we need to be with this reading. The Magi studied the stars. Remember, they were astrologers after all, right? They were students of a school of thought that observed the creation, God's creation, and the message it says. You know, there were other religions at this time that actually did worship the stars, right? Maybe even these magi did. We don't know. But the stars are things in God's creation, just like you. Yeah, we know this because we've read it in the creation story of Genesis chapter 1. So let me remind you of Genesis chapter 1, right? Well, what happens on day 1? Creates light. But then on day 4, oh, Remember, light had already been created. Day four, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. So God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the moon. And then it adds, and the what? Stars. It's right there, folks. It's almost an afterthought, but the stars are mentioned because God knew that humans pay attention to them. And so did the Magi. So the star in Matthew's story is a poetic way of saying that this creation that God, that which God created, if we pay attention to it, it will lead us to God. Just like Jesus leads us to God. But really, anything in God's creation can do that if what? If we allow it. The star becomes, in this story, the universal symbol of God's own handiwork leading the world to his Christ. And you could even make an argument for that Christ was God's second incarnation. Wait, what? Yeah, second incarnation. Well, if he was the second, who was the first? Creation itself, folks. Creation itself points to God. The movement in all of our readings that we had today is about God's universal action to bring the world to salvation, whether they like it or not. Yes. So in our spiritual journeys, in our personal journeys, you know what we do? We honor what God is doing in this celebration of the Epiphany by actively seeking ways to how God is working and to see what God is up to, despite the bad news and the horrible things that roll across our daily news feed that we look at. We honor God when we honor people not like us and people we don't like. Yeah. Why? Because that's what God does. So we should be doing it too, yes? You know, few of us progress so far on the spiritual journey that we can ever love like that, though, right? Very few of us, right? And a lot of people get stuck there and never move, right? Well, but think about the circles on the far reaches, even farther out. What about loving people who have hurt us personally? What? What about loving people who have gossiped about us? What? Oh, that's really hard. I don't think I can do that. Can I love them? Well, can my heart really stretch that far? But what about those people way out there, the truly evil and bad people? What about them? Yeah. Get out of here. Are you crazy? Well, you know who is crazy? God. Because God loves them too. How do you like that? How do you like that? Yes, God loves all these people that lie in these outer reaches of our caring circles. And for God, it isn't even hard. It isn't even difficult. Because that's who God is. And we got to consider, oh, you know what? Maybe there's something in it for me to love like that. Oh, no. Can't even go there. So for us, the Epiphany puts us on our spiritual journeys to actually start to get real and be honest with who we are and whose we are as Christ's own in the world. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.